everybody is late today. We're going to have to do without our Zarkahelikamishna from Savagash too. It's a disaster. But we are holding on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah, and I think they were just in time to get a... There we go. What timing. What exquisite timing. Elu devarim asurim linkor la'oved kochavim. Now the following things, up until now, we've been discussing the general isur of sales for business. Actually, it's not only sales, business buying as well. And we started off in the Sechet with the question of the buying before, the buying after the time of the holiday, the dinim of the holiday itself. We spoke about personal holidays, an individual who's making some kind of simcha for his family and maybe using it for purposes of worship at the same time. We also raised recently the question of the Isur on Ma'ot, of Avodat Kohavim, which was the issue of the two pots, and the question of how far we're going to go with our chashashot. But now we have a new question here, and that is particular things that are used for purposes of worship. And those things are prohibited to sell at all times. And elu devarim asurim limkor la'oved kochavim. Now, this is not buying, this is selling. That's only one way of the relationship, which we open up with business in general. And that would include itzrub lin, we'll see what all the things are, uvnot shoach, uvtot rot, ulvona, v'tarnagol halavan. So these are, we'll see in the Gemara, but there are various types of plants that were used for, either for hanging on Christmas trees type things, or in front of the Avodah Zarah, or they were things that were actually brought, like the Tarnagol Halavan would be brought as an offering to Avodah Zarah. There was some type of superstition of using a white Tarnagol. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mutar Limkor Lo Tarnagol Halavan Bein HaTarnagolim. You are allowed to sell him a bunch of different Tarnagolim, even though that includes the Tarnagol Halavan. If he has to sell particularly only a Tarnagol Halavan, what he should do is Kotea et Etzba'o Umochrolo. He should cut off one of the, I guess you would call them fingers, is the way the Gemara is referring to it, but it's sure a finger, right? Of his feet, and you sell it to him, because then they won't be able to use it as a korban. The fisha'in makribim chaser ma'avodat kochavim. They do not accept an animal that is missing an organ for bringing to an avodat kochavim.
Is there any question between this and the shita that says, in terms of kaparas, that asher is kaparas, is there any connection to this?
Sure, absolutely. They had a thing for Tarnagolim. There's no question. We see it throughout. Yeah, right. What's that? This is why it's brought in the halakha that even those who have the minhag of kaparot, which of course many people are very against, but that they should be careful not to ask specifically for a Tarnagol Lavan, because that's definitely a Dakeham or kind of thing. This is based on this. Vishar kol hadvarim, anything else that one sells, staman mutar, if they're being purchased without defining their purpose, then there's no problem. Upirushan asur, but any definition, which sounds like definition of purpose, sell me that so that I can use it in church or something, we'll see tomorrow, we'll discuss this, is prohibited. Rabbi Meir Omer, afdekel tav v'chatsav v'naklibas asur limkor la'oved kochavim. And again, what it seems to be saying is a high-quality date palm. Chatzav, we don't know what it is. We're going to talk about it. Same, too, with the naklabas. It's prohibited to sell at any time. So let's go take this Mishnah, which is very confusing, and try to make some sense out of it. My itzrub lin. What exactly is this itzrub lin? It's a tornita. And a tornita is itself not all that clear what it is. Rashi learns tornita is a reference to a type of erez. Now, erez in the Gemara includes 10 different meaning of trees that we certainly wouldn't recognize as being part of the cedar family, but it could include shita as well in that. But apparently, it's some type of loose tumbleweed thing, according to Rashi, which is very strange. We'll see in a minute, and Tosus asks on it because of that problem. Tosus, on the other hand, and we'll see what pushes into this, Tosus learns that it's talking about a type of earth. So that would include chemicals that a person was mining that would be together with a type of karka. Veraminu. Now we ask on this, and how could we say that it's Treblin as Tornita, if we learned Lagabe the Dinim of Shvi'it, Hosifu Aliyem Alaksin, it's Treblin, Muchsasin, Uvenot Shoach. Now, Yisak Adaitaf, it's Treblin, it's unimportant for our purposes to go into the details of this Mishnah, but the point over here in Shvi'is is that the Minim that are listed here, the Alaksin, the Treblin, and so on, all were initially excluded from the Dinim of Shvi'is, and in the passage of time, they came to recognize that business was being done with these things anyway, and therefore they answered the Esek in these things in Shemitah. The Benot Shoach is just a very interesting aside, which we've mentioned many times in the past. The Tosfos brings it again here, as he does so many other places. We recently had it in Shavuos as well. That Benot Shoach here seem to be a poor quality fig. And elsewhere, he brings rayas that Benot Shoach, on the contrary, is the best quality. And how could it possibly be both? And one approach to Tosfos over here, like I've been Mishnah and Shvi'is, is that it has nothing to do with the quality. The reason that initially Benot Shoach were excluded was because they're available all over the place. There's a lot of wild growth of Benot Shoach, and therefore there was no chashash that somebody was trading in Shemitah Benot Shoach. Or Lagabe, he brings the same thing, Lagabe Dmai. It's one of the Kalin Shabbat Dmai, that you don't have to worry about taking Meister, because what's the big deal? He'll lose a few Benot Shoach from things that grew in his own property. He can always get from Hefker and so on. But there are other approaches, and Tosfos again brings the beautiful Midrash about the relationship. Sometimes they're called Bat Sheva, and sometimes they're called Bat Shoach. And the reason is because the Te'ina is a reference to the Eitz HaDaat, because of the Alei Te'ina. And therefore, it's called Shoach, because it was Gorem Shucha La'adam, so it brought him mortality. And Sheva is a reference to Avelut, in general, or the different types of Avelut, which are also included in the Isurim, in the Klolos, that are Merumas and Gan Eden. So there's a Sheva element of Avelut as well, not only days of Avelut. Yeah, we talked about the relationship to Bat Sheva in terms of David as well. As the Ramesh would be a reference to the Te'ina, it had to do with the Eitz HaDaat, that was been Tukang with his searching for the relationship with the Sochenet. Yeah, I'm just reminding you of all the things we spoke of in the past. Anyway, if Yisak HaDaitach, if you claim that it's Trublin is Tornita, how could Tornita be included in the Dinim of Shemitah? Mi'ita b'Shvi'it. V'atani, we know that the Braita gives us a criterion which wouldn't apply to Tornita. Namely, Zeaklal, Koshi Yeshlo Ikar, Yeshlo Shvi'it. Rechosha Inlo Ikar, Inlo Shvi'it. The only things that have a root system would have Shvi'is. And Tornita wouldn't have a root system. Now this is obviously crazy, according to Rashi. Because if Tornita is a type of Erez, then how could it not have a root system? And this is Tosfos. This is Tosfos. How could Rashi possibly think that Tornita is an Erez in our sugya? So Rashi tries to get out of it by saying that the root system that's being referred to over here is a root system that is mitkayem, summer and winter, and doesn't wither. And that the Tornita is a type of tree that basically grows sort of like a banana. So it grows and then it withers and it's not really considered to be an ace. We want to make a dama on it, right? But the problem is that Tosfos shows that that seems to be absurd as well. I mean, because by those standards, wheat wouldn't have shvi'is, which is crazy. So how could Rashi possibly say that? Therefore, he changes the Tornita here and shows that we use the word actually in that way in other places, that it's a type of karka. And the question is whether there's would have been any type of issue of mining it, digging it up for, it says like sulfur containing dirt and so on. So, but however we learn it, it's clear that it's Turblin can't be Tornita because Tornita wouldn't have Shmita because it requires to have an Iker b'Shvi'is, Choshe Eno Iker Eno Shvi'is. Ella Amar Rav Safra, says Rav Safra, Tornita is Piri Viarza. It's not an Erez. It's basically pine cones. And those pine cones are hung on trees or hung in front of the Avodat Kochavim. And they're used for worship purposes. And therefore, you can't tell us them because that was what was common at the time. The Chenkiyasa Rav in Amar Rav Elazar, Piri Viarza. It's a reference to the pine cones.
I think so.
The note Shoah or Marah.
So Tosfos was going out of the final part of the Sukkot that switched gears. Tosfos never said originally said it had nothing to do with.
Correct. Now, that's
now
correct.
That switched gears. Now goes there as we're talking about.
Right. The note Shoah or Marah Baba Rachanan Rabbi Yochanan. It means to any chivarta white, a white type of taina. And again, this is very very problematic from other places where we list. The three types of ta'anim are ta'anim, shechorot, livanot, uvnot shoach. So obviously livanot shoach are not considered to be. And Tosfos learns it's a subspecies of benot shoach. And that's what it's saying. Which is another approach to the whole thing. There are benot shoach that are particular, that are called benot shoach chivrot, the livanot of the benot shoach, that are not the benot shoach that we're referring to generally. So then that answers both problems. Is that there may be a type of benot shoach that is indeed problematic. And it's not included in the list of all the overall species types because it's a subspecies of Benot Shoah. Uptutrot. Now, that's a little strange because a ptutra really just means a stem or an extension of something. So, therefore, the girsa, says Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, it shouldn't say uptutrot, that's a different thing. It means bitutrotehen. Don't sell pine cones. Or these benot shoach, in our terms, would be like holly, let's say, right? If there's a stem that can be used for hanging on a tree, you're hanging in front of the avodat kochavim, but if it's only the fruit, there'd be no way to hang it, they couldn't use it. And therefore, it would be okay to sell it, so that the Mishnah was coming to limit the Yisur to fruit that included the putrotehin. Livona, Amrev Yitzhak Amrev Shimon Ben Makish, Livona Zaka, we're talking about a pure frankincense that could be used in front of for an incense to be brought in church. Tana Mikulan Bochrim Lehen Chavila. You can sell a large quantity of this stuff, all of the above. The Kama Chavila, how much would that be? Piresh Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera in Chavila Techuta Mishlosha Manim. It would have to be 3 mana, Mishkal, 3 mana. Which is certainly no individual would be bringing this to church, so that the only intent over here would be to do business with it and to sell it. Says the Gemara, I don't understand, but still, obviously, I mean, the purpose of the wholesaler over here would be, or the guy who's purchased all of this, may be for a store in which he's selling things for worship. So ultimately, you still have to assume that the purpose is to take this thing and to bring it into court. So how do you explain that? Why wouldn't this purchase be for the purpose of selling to others retail and having them go and bring this as incense? Omer Abaye, that's because alifnei makpidim. But alifnei delifnei lo makpidina. We are not commanded to avoid lifnei iver. We're only commanded to avoid lifnei iver. So since over here, what is being done, indeed, may ultimately serve the purposes of the church, but it's not directly going to be used by the person that I sell it to for the church. Now, here, this is a very fascinating issue. Because many of the Mefarshim has brought lahalacha, so from the Rishonim, that this is only true of Akum. When it comes to Yisrael, there is an Isser in Lifnei Iver, even if it would be a Lifnei de Lifnei. And a lot of the Acharonim question, where would that come from? I mean, there's only one plus Lifnei Iver. I mean, why, you know, how are we applying it one way when it comes to Yisrael and one way when it comes to Akron? There's been a number of fascinating approaches. One is that the Goy does not have a mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, correct? So if we're selling to the guy and the guy sells to someone else, we're not helping him do an Isser of Lifnei Iver, because it's not us to do Lifnei Iver. Therefore, for him, we're not, there's no Lifnei Iver on the Isser of Lifnei Iver. But for a Jew, he may be doing something that will cause someone else to do something, so that itself would be asur for him, and therefore the lifnei keeps going back, because on that issur itself is a lifnei iver. Lifnei iver, shiavor al lifnei iver, lo titen mikshol. That's the mikshol, avor al lifnei iver. Yeah, because each person is one man. Each person is asur himself on lifnei iver, whereas the goy is not asur on lifnei
iver. One boy in the chain,
and it would break it up. That's right. That's one fascinating approach. Another beautiful approach is by Rav Fisher. And he says a pshat like this, that there's two completely different elements that are involved in the lifnei iver. The lifnei iver involves us, first of all, in to see to it that there should be no chet that's done. So, in other words, see to it that you don't do something that will cause someone to do an avera. And the other one is, and that's the simple one, don't do something that can hurt another person in any way. Now, we don't find that tzivu, because that's simple meaning of tzivu. Don't put a stone in front of somebody who's walking. The question is, it's a rav. So do we have a tzivu of lifnei iver on akum? Not necessarily on the human part, but yes, necessarily on the broader interpretation of lifnei iver. Therefore, the broader interpretation is something that doesn't lie in the meaning of the relationship to him. And so, where do we see that there's an iser of ultimately bringing to somebody doing an avera? In terms of the avera, it doesn't say anything like that. By the Yisro, we also don't have that problem. That ultimately an avera will be performed. Because it has to be in terms of the person that's going to, otherwise where's the guy that's going to do the stumbling? But when it comes to the Jew, we need to be concerned for his personal welfare. So if he is going to end up selling for an akum, or to worship over here, then that itself is something that is not very much in his benefit, and we need to protect him from his benefit. For his
dealing with Esther is the personal welfare.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting approach. I mean, it's reading a lot into the sugya that we don't really see. There's somebody, he has all piece in the, you know, the Beit Yishai. Omer Rav Yitzchak, oh sorry, I said that. Tarnagol Laban. Omer Rav Yonah, Omer Rav Yizir, Omer Rav Zvid. Or some say it was Rav Yonah, Omer Rav Zvid directly. That Tarnagol Lami, Mutar Limkor, no Tarnagol Laban. If a guy simply walks in, or he's going down the street and he's asking, anybody have a Tarnagol for sale? You happen to have a Tarnagol Laban, you could sell him that Tarnagol Laban. But if he says Tarnagol Laban Lami, then a Sunim Kor, no Tarnagol Laban. If he specifies that he's looking for a Tarnagol Avan, then you cannot sell him the Tarnagol Avan, because then he's undoubtedly specifying it for purposes of worship, because that was what they used to use to present in church. Now, the problem is that this doesn't seem to add up if you look at the Mishnah. It's not. In the Mishnah it says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mocher Hu Tarnagol Avan Bein HaTarnagolim. You can sell him a Tarnagol Avan if it's mixed with other tarnagol. And now let's try to understand what case Rav Yehuda was referring to. If the case is that the guy asked, who can sell me a tarnagol avan? So then if he's saying tarnagol avan lami, then clearly he has the intent for using that particular tarnagol for worship, despite the fact that he may be buying other things for his table. Why would Rabbi Yehuda possibly say that it would be okay to sell him a Tarnagol Avan under those circumstances? Elalav, he must be talking about a case where the guy didn't ask Tarnagol Avan Lami, Tarnagol Avan Lami, he just said Tarnagol Lami, Tarnagol Lami. Vafilu hachi, nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that although he didn't request a Tarnagol Avan, you could only sell him a Tarnagol Avan bein ha-Tarnagolim. Then in, if it's between other birds, you can sell it to him. But b'tznei atzmo, no, you cannot sell it to him on its own. And according to the Tanna Kamma, argues in Rabbi Yehuda, you couldn't sell it to him under any circumstances, even if it was mixed with other tarnagolim. Afilu peinat veinat tarnagolim nani lo. And this is talking about a case where the guy didn't say a word about tarnagol avan. And you are claiming, Rabbi Zera, that if he says, well, you know, just a tarnagol, then it would be mutter to sell even a Tarnagol Avan, which is great. Nobody holds that. Not Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbona, as we've just proven. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Omer of Nachum by Yitzchak, you know, there's another case that you haven't considered. Hakumai Eskina Gon to Amar Zeh V'Zeh. Suppose the guy specifies, and he says, in the case that we're talking about, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and where it's Osir, it could be where the guy says, look, I'm in the market for some white, some black, some red Tarnagol. So he didn't mention Tarnagol Lavan. So over there, since he mentioned the Lavan, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, you can't sell it to him just the Lavan. Because if he's taking Lavan now, and he mentioned Lavan in the beginning, he may just have been covering up by saying, well, I would take, black Tarnagolim as well, and he's some red, you sell him the Lavan, and then he walks away. He's not going to buy anything, because he may just want to get around this business. He knows the Jews are sensitive to the superstition, you know. So there, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, but if he really does purchase a group of Tarnagolim that include Lavan, Shachor, Adom, and so on, then it would be okay. The Chachamim are saying, no, it's never okay. Having mentioned Lavan, I mean, maybe he's willing to take a Lavan to church and the Shachor and the Adom to cover and use for his table. I mean, so you can never sell it to him. And that's a different Indian, because there he didn't mention. Here he mentioned. Now, this we're trying to show is that there's a different type of concern. There's three levels. You have Tarnagol Ami, Tarnagol Lavan Ami, and Tarnagol Lavan, Shachor, Adom, anybody? So over there, we've got an additional concern. What Rabbi Zero was saying is that if there never was a mention of color bichlal, the guy just said, anybody have any chickens to sell? So what's the problem? Sell him a chicken. What's not giving me what kind of chicken it is? That's what Rabbi Zero is saying. Tanya Nami, okay? In fact, a brisa we have confirms this, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Ematai, Rabbi Yehuda himself says, when do we say that a Tarnagol Lavan is asur to sell? Is man sha'amar Tarnagol ze Lavan, where he said this white Tarnagol. Avali mamar zev zev, he said white, black, and so on, then it would be mutar. Now, the word zev makes no sense here, as you can see. And therefore Rashi says the zev is lav dafka. Tosfos, on the basis of this, builds the entire sugya differently. And Tosfos says, kigon de omar zev zev is not that he mentioned lavan shachor v'adom. He walked into a store, and he points. He says, oh, let me have that one, the white one over there. Let me have that one, the black one. I'll take the red one. And he's pointing to them. So he's basically selecting in those circumstances. What is attractive to him? There's no reason but say under those circumstances that he was searching initially for Tarnagol Lavan. He walks into the store. He sees what looks good to him. And he's saying, pass me that one, pass me that one. Which is perfectly normal. And that's where we're saying that, okay, I'm in under those circumstances. It's neither that he's just saying Tarnagol, but it's also he never mentioned the Lavan. That's what Kigon Dama Zevizeh is. And that's why when it says over here, the Tanya Nami Hasi, it brings in the word Tarnagol Zeh, which according to Rashi is meaningless.
If you were to pick out Zeh, 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 they're all white, would you still say something?
No, well, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we're talking about Bein HaTarnagolim anyway. The question is, if you said this exact. Now, furthermore, and this, I interrupted here because it really leads us into a different issue. Oved Kol Chaviv Sha'asah Mishteh Livno, if a goy is making a party for his son, which sounds like a wedding or something, which we know is a problem from the previous Mishnayot. If he's making a wedding, then we have to assume that there's worship at the wedding. It's being done in the church. He's going to get the priest to make the wedding and so on. So it should be a problem. And yet it says over here, if he's making a mishteh livno, o shayala chole betoch beto, or just he's got somebody is ill in the house and needs good nourishment, so then it would be mutar. Because then we can assume that he's just picking out something that looks, really gishmak, and he's doing this for purposes of aesthetics, or he's doing it for purposes of encouragement of the chole. But the problem is, how can you say that if there's a party for his son? Doesn't it say in the mission earlier about son? Oved kol chavim shasal mishteh livno, eino asur elo oto hayom v'oto ha'ish bilvad. I mean, the only business dealings that are prohibited is that particular day and that particular man. But meanwhile, oto hayom v'oto ha'ish mi'asur, which would imply that Asiyat Mishteh Livno is an opportunity for worship. And here you're saying it's innocent. We're not talking about a wedding. We're talking about a tavzig. A tavzig is a, well, you know, like a picnic, in which kids are going out because they're trying to make, they had this type of thing in which kids would go out for camping. And so on. Rashi actually brings the word camp, Camp Royce. And that apparently it was just something that was completely innocent of anything. Certainly they're not going out camping to worship God. I mean, you know, there's other things they have in their mind. And so what it is that they're doing is they're looking for good food. And Mamela, there's no chashash in this case. Tnan, now how do you understand the Mishnah's ending where it says, Vishar kol advarim staman mutar piushan asur? I have a problem with that. Because you have raised over here the flag of definitions. We talked about Tarnagol, right? Now, you said it depends whether a guy mentions the white or he doesn't mention the white. The Mishnah talks about defining. It says, if you defined it, it's no good. If you didn't define it, it's okay. Now, defining could mean white. White anything, as far as I'm concerned. In other words, if we understand that you're looking just for something to eat, okay, you know, you want rice. But if you're going to specify, maybe, white something, and say, well, white rice, maybe over there, any specification is usher. Maybe that's the way to learn the Mishnah. That if you specify, it's usher, because then you're getting to be too midakdek, which, when once you're talking about that kind of diktuk, it's got to be religion. Why else is anybody getting into this kind of thing, right? So therefore,
I'm dreaming of a white.
There you go. You see, there's something about white all along. So how do you understand it? Because the simple way of understanding it doesn't make sense. The simple way of understanding the Mishnah about specifying would be specifying purpose, right? But let's see if that works. When you say staman or pirushan, my staman or my pirushan, even a stama, if you're telling me that stam means whatever you say, even if you would say I want white grain, that's also called stam. We don't care about use an adjective, but what we do care about is pirushan, meaning for the purpose. I want to buy this in order to worship Avodat Kochavim. So then I need a Mishnah to tell me something that is so insanely obvious. I don't need to know anything about white rice, for heaven's sakes. The Mishnahs talk about white chickens. I'm going to say, if you're telling me in that Mishnah that there's a problem of white chickens, I'd have to be out of my mind to think that there's a problem of white rice. That you said, but there's no problem of white rice. So I don't need to say that. Nor do I need to be told that if the guy tells me, by the way, I want this to be able to go into church and use it for incense or whatever, that's a sure. Of course it's a sure. Wasn't that the whole point of the Mishnah? Why would I need to mention it? Ella, the only approach I can see is that the word staman means non-adjective, and pirushan means with an adjective. And we're worried that any type of diktuk is going to be a problem. So staman would mean to come out, chiti, give me some wheat. Hirushan, he says, well, not any kind of wheat, I need white wheat. So then that would mean that by the tarnagol, the iser would be, even if he didn't say lavan, you still can't sell him a tarnagol lavan. And that would be the difference between tarnagol and other things. But any type of being careful about what he's buying may indicate religious purposes. So a tarnagol apil staman amilo. Leolam staman de kamachita chivarta. No. Let's go back to the way we had it. And that's the simple, naive explanation of the Mishnah. I'll explain to you why it's not as obvious as you might have thought. The guy says chita chivarta, and that's stam. I don't care how many adjectives he uses. People want different things to eat. I mean, well, why make it a religious thing? But pirushan indeed is talking about that. He said, I want it for purposes of worship. So you'll say, so obviously you're not allowed to sell it. Why would I think you're allowed to sell it? I'll tell you why. Because, you see, I might have thought that even though he said I want it for purposes of worship, it's okay to sell it to him. Because Salkadatecha, I mean, I gave a lot of that kochavim kabari. I might have thought that this guy has no interest in going to church. He's trying to get a good price. So he's made the kochavim kabavadat kochavim. He takes for granted that everybody's thinking about, you know, God, sort of. That's the way we do things. You know, so he figures the same way I, of course, you know, approve of motherhood in the church. So Sovakiru Gabravik they call me Amanami Aviku. He figures this guy who's selling this stuff, you know, he's gonna be very approving if I tell him I need something really special and you give me a good price. I mean, after all, it's for the Lord, I'm going to the church. And so he figures the guy will say, all right, you know, fine, we'll give, you know, say a prayer for me. And then he'll give him a good deal. But yeah, why would we say he has an interest in bringing it in church? Same way that he assumes himself he would respond. He assumes that the guy selling him would respond in the same way. In order for him to sell it to him for a good deal. And therefore, he needs to say this in the Mishnah. That if he does say, I need it for church, you have to take him at his word. You're not allowed to sell it to him. Why Ravashi? Ravashi wants to know, how about if a guy goes ahead and he says, Tarnagol Lavan Katua Lami. Who's got a Tarnagol Lavan that's missing? What do you call the on the feet? Do you call them fingers?
Yeah.
No, what is that?
No.
Toes. I think. Toes. Thank you. That's it. All right. So he says, I want one that's missing a toe. Now, can you then sell him? So he, in other words, because there may be a difference in price, since there's a market for a whole Tarnagolim to bring for the altar. And he wants to make it very clear. I'll take something that I can. I just want something nice for the house, you know. So maybe it would be mutter under those circumstances to sell him a tarnagol avan that's not missing a toe. A tarnagol avan shalem. Miyam rina midikarma katu alav lavadat kochavim kaboy. Do we assume that since he initially said, you know, I'm in the market for a katua, he certainly wouldn't want it for avadat kochavim? Or do we think the guy's smart? He's a phony. He's saying I want it. Then he figures who's gonna have a tarnagol missing a toe for heaven's sakes. They'll certainly present me a tarnagol and I'll say, well, all right, but I don't want to pay the premium, you know, and I'll come out and I'll worship with it. And Intim Saloma, if you'll tell me that in this case, we certainly have to assume, it's a very strange thing to say, I want a toeless tarnagol. So Haya Rumi Udekamari, here, he certainly, I mean, he opens up this discussion in a way that makes it look very sneaky. What about if he said, Tarnagol Avan Lami, and he said, Tarnagol Avan, look for Tarnagol Avan, and you say to him, well, I've got a Shachor, and he takes it, or he says, all right, fine, I'll take the Shachor. And then you say, oh, and I've got this red one, and he takes the red one. Can you then sell him a white one? Now, Rashi learns that the entire question would only be Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbanan, even if you're selling other Tarnagolim, you can't include a Tarnagolavan within it. And therefore, according to Rabbanan, would obviously be Asur. And the question is, what about according to Rabbi Yehuda, since he did mention Tarnagolavan, it's just that he's taking these other Tarnagolim, maybe he's doing that as a cover-up. And he says, okay, I guess if they see me accepting these other ones, then they'll sell me the Lavan, which is what I really want. So, Mi'aminat, even the Yavo Shachor v'Shakal. Do we say, since we gave him the black one and he took it, Adom v'Shakal, and he took a red one. So obviously he doesn't really want it for Avodai Kochavim. Odiomeya Rumeka Marim. Or do we say, no, this is part of his trick to get us to sell it to him? Take him. Now, Tosus disagrees with Rashi. And Tosafot says that we're asking over here, even according to Rabbanan, who said that you're not allowed to sell a Tarnagolavan Baina Tarnagolim, that's because the guy may know that he's buying together all of them. So it's worth it for him to buy these, because he knows he's got the Lavan there. And that's awesome. But over here he's got no idea. He says Tarnagolavan. The guy says, nope, but I've got a Shachor. All right, I'll take a Shachor. I've also got a nice Adom for you. All right, I'll take the Adam. He has no idea he's going to offer him the Lavan. So maybe in that case, even the Rabbanan might, if they're not Kayish for the Haramah, they might agree in that case, because he doesn't know when he's buying that he's going to be able to get what he's looking for. And maybe Ad Kedekach, they wouldn't be Kodesh, you see.
How about chopping off a toe?
No, that you came late.
What? Oh,
you
yeah.
came late.
Oh,
that is what, exactly what you can do. If the guy is going to still buy, you say, look, you know, I could sell it to you, but it's, you know, I got one missing a toe, and you cut off the toe. Okay. Okay. It's a Pettigrew, you know. Rebbe Meir Omer, Hab Dekel Chatzav, Dekel Tav V'Chatzav, which we had no idea what all that stuff was. You know, we have a tradition, our tradition has Masechet Avodat Kochavim that was originally written by Avraham Avinu had 400 prakim. That's how much detail there was that he worked out, because this was his whole life's ambition, was to trace all of the various psychological phenomena that led to worship of Avodat Kochavim, and therefore he would identify even small little things that had been done in it. And it must have been exceedingly complex. Now, what's left to us is five lousy, leftover things. You think that, okay, those are the simplest things to understand, right? And we still don't know what the heck we're talking about. So, Vanan Chamisha, not all we've got is five. V'layadina Makamrina, we don't know what they mean. And something must have been bothering him. I mean, he was speaking in frustration, right? So, my kasha, what was bothering Rav Chisda? Well, he says, what about this Mishnah? Rabbi Meir Omer, Af Dekel Tav Chatzav V'Naklaz, Asulim Kol Adeko Chavim. Do you have any idea? I mean, what is it? That's interesting. Do you have any idea what's going on over here? First of all, what do you mean, Dekel Tav? A good Dekel? It's a type of Dekel. It's called Dekel Tav. So you're telling me that's the problem? Because it's good? And the Dekel Tavu de Lomaz Vinina, I Dekel Bish Mazvinina, you are allowed to sell a poor quality Dekel, also used as type species, by the way. But Tznan, we'll see later on, you're not allowed to sell anything that is Mechubar Lekarka because of the Yitzer of Lotei Chanem, Lotei Lem Chanaya. Don't give them a place to park themselves in Eretz Yisrael. So, what's the issue over here? I don't see what it means. Omar Lay, no. You see, you confused yourself. Dekel Tav doesn't refer to the tree. Dekel Tav refers to the peirot of a Dekel Tav. V'cheinam Ravuna peirot Dekel Tav. Okay, well, so that much you can explain. I don't know what this Chatzav and this is. Well, Chatzav is the Kasba, you see. Kasba is the name of a high quality date. Okay, we'll accept that. What about, actually, Tosis brings it, there are two type of kasbas, and he brings rayas. But it's interesting that we could still use the for a shuk, which we originally, probably the main thing was the dates, and it became the kasba. Mm-hmm. But it's actually called kasba throughout, and there seem to be two different types of things. Because there's a yarot vash. All right, we'll see in a moment. The other thing is this other thing, the Nicholas thing. What is that? Yosef Dimi Amrav Chamar by Yosef. I can tell you what that is. That's Kuraiti. Amalei Avayel Rav Dimi. You know, you're a great help. I mean, the Mishnah says Nicholas, and we had not a slight say what Nicholas is. And you come along and give us a wonderful explanation, Kuraiti. We don't know what the heck that is, V'lo Yadina. My honest one, which is, tell me what the purpose is of these types of discussions. You're going to give me a bunch of Greek names of things I'm supposed to be helped by this. You think you're doing me a big favor? V'lo Yadina, my honest one. What then have you helped us? Omar Lay, well, I am very helpful. You just have to look towards the future. And one of these days you're going to grow up and you're going to end up going to Eretz Yisrael. And you're going to hear people saying Kuraiti. So you're going to go along, can you show me a Nicholas? They don't know what the heck you're talking about. But if you tell them, can I have some Kuraiti? They'll know exactly what you're talking about and they'll show you some Kuraiti. Okay? Is that a help or not? So I'm going to do Kuraiti v'yadei. Then they'll know what it is. Because Mashmalachan at that point, it's no longer a name, it's a fruit.
Sunday since I'm so busy this program.
The Shabbat day, that was called for Nicholas from Damascus to descend into Augustus Caesar.
No kidding. Is it actually a fellow called Nicholas? Beautiful.
Where's this from?
Very interesting. So they actually were Nicholas Bates. Beautiful.